Nishmini.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Don't give me the conspiracy bullshit. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Drogerija oddaja vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo opoldne na Radiu Študent.
And bar the door. Lock them out forevermore. Nook and cranny, window, door, seal them out forevermore. Curse go back. Back with double fear and flack. Curse go back. Back with double pain and lack. Silver arrow through the night, take thy flight. Silver arrow, seek and find. Cursing heart and cursing mind.
Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni. Danes ni potrebno iti v mašo, na mašo. Hudiča je za nas izgnal sam William Burroughs. O njemu več s Colin Fellows in C.N. Gensmerjem, kuratorjema, ki sta v Ljubljano v domači MGLC pripeljala razstavo Razrezano, vrinjeno, izrezano William S. Burroughs. Torej heroj scene, ki se tudi pritiče drog, še marsikdere druge scene, bo danes v drogeriji njegovo delo. Predvsem, še pred tem pa se bomo poigrali nekoliko z novicami, kaj je tisto, kar se dogaja po svetu danes na področju drog, kasneje pa pogovor s profesorjem Fellowsom in kuratorko Gensmerjevo iz Dunajskega Kunsthalle.
The practice of witchcraft has plagued man on this planet since he first used words.
The word was a killer virus once. It could become a killer virus again.
In the beginning was the word. This is how the Persians pictured the origins of disease.
In na tem mestu spet treba opomniti na Sarza, ki je rekel, v živalskem svetu velja pravilo, jej ali bodi pojeden v človeškem, definiraj ali bodi definiran. In seveda, kako je bila ganja definirana kot prepovedana, kaj se je zgodilo, marsikaj problematičnega, kasneje pa je prišlo do teh sintetičnih kanabinoidov, ki zdaj že slabo desetletje se prodajajo marsikje po svetu. V njih le malo povemo o drogeriji, zaradi tega, ker na srečo naš pas dovoljuje partizansko gojenje konoplje in se po teh snoveh ne hlastamo po njih. So zelo problematične. Na internetni strani imate celo stran dodeljeno smrtnim primerom zaradi kajenja sintetičnih kanabidov, ki so zaradi tega ali drugega slabi za telo. Najnovejša novica, ki pa je prišla, pa je, da so upgradeali te sintetične kanabide, torej izboljšali so jih, izboljšali za vas, pa seveda ne v resničnem smislu. Kaj so naredili? Je, da so poleg te rastlince različnih vrst poskrupili seveda z nekim sintetičnim kanabidom, URB754, če vas zanima, ampak to ni vse. Kaj so dodali je, dodali so še katinon, ne? Katinone že dodobra poznamo, mefedroni, metiloni, skratka snovi, ki se legalno prodajajo in danes osrečujejo ljudi, nekateri tudi užaloščujejo, če uživajo preveč, če uživajo, čeprav niso primerni za njihovo fiziološko sestavo. Kaj so pa zdaj naredili z katinoni? Imamo 4-MeMaBP, 4-metilbufedron in s tem 4-metilbufedronom, torej katinonom, so poškropili to rastlinje, tako da v bistvu, če kadite to, dobite dvojen hit, dobite malo kanabidoidov, dobite malo katinonov, kaj pa si niso mislili te proizvajalci, ker v bistvu sam improvizirajo, to niso več časi Šulgina, to so drugi časi, to so časi iskanja dobička na kakršen že možen način, pa tudi tak, da pač prepovedane snovi iščemo analoge in jih provadajemo kot legalne, pa nač prej ne proučimo, kakšno sestavino smo proizvedli in kaj ta, kako ta se obnaša farmakokinetsko v telesu. No, skratka, te dve snovi skupi proizvedeta še eno aktivno snov, katere ime je pa dolgo skoraj da pol odstavka, tako da vam je ne povem, tako da ponajdete jo pa lahko sami na internetu, torej če upišete URB754 pa 4MeMaBP. Ni to nova stvar, zdravniki marsikdaj opozorijo ljudi, da jemanje ene droge plus druge droge ne pomeni ena plus ena, da je dva, tu obstaja drugačna matematika, lahko je 4, lahko je 3, lahko je 6, lahko je tudi nič. Poznamo to zadevo iz Van Mariana, ne, iz Francije. Že takrat so vedeli, da kokain z alkoholom še dodatno izboljša počutje človeka, zaradi tega, ker ena plus ena tukaj ni dve, ampak tri. Kokain plus alkohol proizvedeta kokaetilen. Ni se treba mešati, kot včasih Francije, vino in kokain, pa dobro premešati in potem prodajati lahko. Danes pač morate iti do dveh dobavitlov, ne? Nimate več enega. Ne? Enega na prepovedanem trgu, enega na legalnem do 9. ure. Pretiravate, ne, seveda se bo tudi v vašem telesu, kljub te vidimo, da te dve zadeve niste zmešane, proizvajajo kokaetilen. Kokaetilen je še bolj nabrit kot kokain, zdaj, kok pa se ga proizvede ob tem sozvočju teh dveh snovi, pa nikoli ni bilo v bistvu raziskan, tako da se tudi ne ve, kok ta tretja snov v bistvu pripomore k težavam, ki občasno nastopijo pri jemanju teh snovi. No, povejmo, da alkohola ne bo več moč kupiti v Egiptu, sicer ne takoj, če se že naročili karto tja, lepo idite, ampak zgleda, da v bližnji prihodnosti, skratka, kaj so se odločili, nova vlada je izdala dekret, da se ne izdaja več licenc za prodajo alkohola v vseh novo nastalih soseskah, ne bo tega mogoče več pridobiti licenc, kot so pa povedali, tudi ne bodo obnavljali licenc za prodajo alkohola, teh ne bo tudi moč predajati drugemu, tako da v bistvu se kaže, da bo postopoma alkohol v primeru, da muslimanska bratovščina ohrani vpliv nad to družbo, ne bo več dostopen v kratkem ali pa malo daljšem času. Če smo že pri alkoholu, povejmo, da čilenci, ki so nekoč že bili poskusni žajčki, takrat zaradi zavoljo ekonomskega sistema, uvajanja novega ekonomskega sistema, danes znajo biti žajčki na področju zdravstvenega sistema. Večkrat smo že povedali, da se dela na cepivu proti alkoholu, cepivo, ki bi onemogočalo človeku normalno piti alkohola. Večkrat so že
nadzor, poskušali proizvesti neko dobro cepivo, ni jim ratelo v Združenih državah Amerike, ni jim ratelo v Evropi, ratelo je imel v Južni Ameriki, pravijo, da je odlično, da čim spiješ prvi požirek alkohola, dobiš najhujšo obliko možno mačka, skratka, v tem primeru res, da noben ne bo želel piti alkohola. Delovalo naj bi sicer le 6 mesecev, zdaj preizkujejo to na miškah, če bo vse v redu, novembra letošnjega leta pričnejo z ljudmi. Pa se obrnimo malo severneje, Mehika, morda se bo le kaj spremenilo, morda nam le več ne bo potrebno govoriti vsakič, koliko mrtvih je tam, kako je Amerika povečala svoj budžet za Mehiko, za pomoč proti boju, proti narkokartelom. Nova administracija, novo izvoljenega predsednika Njete ima nekoliko drugačen pogled na reševanje problemov drog, prekupčevanja drog v Mehiki. Ne želijo več podajati pozornosti zgolj tem kurativnemu momentu, torej boju z karteli, ampak predvsem preventivi. Kaj pomeni preventiva? Pomeni najti prostor vsej tej mladini, ki se nima kam dati v Mehiki, ki se nima kje šolati, ki se nima kje zaposliti. In plan je, da bi se denar, namenjen boju proti drogam, namenil tudi za jačanje družbe, družbene infrastrukture. Šolska igrišča naj bi se osvetlila, še pomembneje pa danes v Mehiki obstaja stojile 6000 šol, javnih šol z 8-urnim delovnikom, tako kot je navado v večini zahodnega sveta. Plan predsednika Njete pa je, da se za časa njegovega mandata to število pospne iz 6000 na 40000.
Strong middle class message there.
V poletju smo se smejali Italijanom, ki so preiskovali, koliko kokaina, ki ga ljudje zaužijajo, preide v vodne vire in kako to vpliva na jeguljo. Ugotovili so neke nanograme tega oziroma ganašel v jeguljah, da se tam pač zadrži v njihovem telesu. Ugotovili, da to v bistvu nima nobenega vpliva na njihovo obnašanje, a iz Švedske prihajajo novice, da z vsemi drogami ni tako. In glede tega zlomka, za živali so bolj nevarne tiste droge, ki jih dobite v lekarni. Vsi tisti, ki se ne morete soočati s slabim počutjem, ga spremeniti in se zaradi tega zatečete k zdravniku, namesto k vašemu lokalnemu dilerju in od njega dobite Prozac in podobne zadeve. Kaj se zgodi? Gre za Prozac v bistvu. Ribice, zdaj kjera vrsta ribice, jaz vam ne znam povedati, ampak ena vrsta ribice, ki živi na Švedskem v sladkovodnih ribah, v sladki vodi, skratka, se začne spreminjati, kaj njeno obnašanje se začne spreminjati, postane veliko bolj odprta do novosti, raje gre v kraje, kjer še ni bila, hitreje je. Vse to so naj bi dokazali na univerzi v Umeu. Sicer pravijo, da to je v bistvu vse dobro za ribo, ne? Da je, da se premika, ampak to zgolj v teh območjih akvarija, kjer jo proučujejo, ne, pač da so čisto isto vsebnost Prozaca noter, kakor so ga našli v tistih sladkih vodah. Ampak kaj je razlika med laboratorijem in pač tistim pravim okoljem, v katerem živi, da so tam seveda še predatorji in če bo ta ribca odšla tja, kamor si bo prej ni upala, zna se zgodi, da jo bo pojedla kakja večja riba. Poleg tega pa, ker se prehranjujejo te dotične ribice s planktonom in plankton ima neke veze z algami, če bi te pojedle toliko velik planktona, kakor ga jejo v teh akvarijih, potem bi alge počeš prerasle te sladke vode. Tako da ni dobro. Torej, v bistvu tudi s temi zdravili, ki se jih drogami, ki se prodajajo kot zdravila, morate biti pazljivi, misliti tudi na druge. Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, zaušli smo novice sveta, povemo še ena raziskava, če sami ne veste in se inicirate, boljše je uporabljati tanjše igle kot debelejše igle. Zdaj, ker smo v državi, kjer nimamo problemov s prepovedjo igel, je to boljše zgolj zato, ker bo več snovi prešlo v vašo telo, kamor je tista snov namenjena. Če pa se potikate po državah, kjer so igle prepovedane in imajo ljudje probleme s tem in najdete kakšne džanke, jim lahko rečete, da je v tem primeru tanjša igla boljša tudi zato, ker je poveč stokrat manjša verjetnost, da se okužba, kakršna je HIV, prenese v vaše telo. No, toliko o tem. Po glasbenem predahu, po pesmitvi Briana Geisena, bomo prisluhnili pogovoru naših današnjih gostov, Colina Fellowsa in Sean Gensmer, o Borosu. Tako, zdaj pa prvo Kick That Habit, torej komad, sicer bi ga lahko razumeli v kot habit, kot neko navado na droge, ampak recimo tukaj spet moramo omeniti, Geisen pa Burroughs pa Ian Somerville so skupaj naredili tako imenovan Dream Machine, sanjska mašina, odlična mašina, ne, ki pa je res ne škoduje vašemu zdravju v taki meri kot recimo kemične snovi, skratka imate val, ta rotira, znotraj njega je luč, tam so lukence in zunanji držlaj se poenoti z vašimi možgani in začnete halucinirati in kot sta takrat Geisen, Burroughs in pa Somerville, kaj so menili, menili so, televizije ne bo več, vsak bo svoj režiser, vsak bo svoj producent, torej kick the habit of watching television, naredite si Dream Machine, ni toliko težko, srečno, oziroma na posluh po the
kick
habitu.
That habit, man. Kick that habit, man. That habit, kick, man. Habit, man, kick that. Man, kick that habit. Kick that man habit. That man habit, kick. Habit, kick that man. Man habit, that kick. Kick habit that man. That man, kick habit. Habit that man, kick. Man, kick habit that. Kick habit, man that. Habit, man, that kick. That kick habit, man. Man, that kick habit. Kick, man, habit that. That kick, man, habit. Man, habit, that kick. Kick, man, that habit. That habit, kick, man. Habit, kick that man. Man, that habit, kick.
Nothing here now but the recording. Manipulated by computers.
Thank you. precisely the harbor secret enzymers and the function of the outworld, a soul cure to alleviate an escalating toll. Sad as though it's sad, there's no such thing as a soul. Now you're in a position to prove it.
Power to destroy souls forever is now vested foresighted and responsible in the State Department, the CIA, and the Pentagon.
Nothing here now but the recording, manipulated by computers. Authority figures placed to the second and final death. Deprived of the super-sensitive penal suck-off of their constituents, shut them off. They are as radioactive as an old joke. Thank you.
nothing except the reality in which I am confronted.
Air. Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, v naši sredini Colin Fallows in Sine Gensler, oba poznavalca Burrowsa, umetnostna zgodovinarka, kuratorka iz Kunsthalle, profesor muzike, vizualnih umetnosti iz Univerze v Liverpoolu, gospod Fallows. And now we switch to English. Thank you very much for coming, radio student. Thank you very much for bringing this cut-ups, cut-ins, cut-outs, the art of William S. Burroughs to Ljubljana. Hello, Mr. Fallows.
Hello there.
Hello, Mrs. Gansper. You're from Kunsthalle.
Mrs. I'm from Vienna. I'm a curator based in Vienna.
Mm-hmm. And you're from Liverpool?
Yeah, I'm professor of sound and visual arts at Liverpool John Moores University.
So, if you please describe to us how did we get this exhibition in Ljubljana? How come that you from Liverpool and you from Vienna got together and organized, we should say, a very, very in-depth exhibition of at least one part of Burroughs' work? How did this collaboration come about?
Yeah, I was working in around 2000 to 2007 on a project of William Burroughs' cut-up tapes. It was a kind of, or it turned into a kind of sonic archaeology project of first of all locating Burroughs' cut-up tapes and then trying to transfer them. So it was a long research project. Obviously, a lot of artists have referenced Burroughs' cut-up works and the cut-up method, but it wasn't really possible to listen to Burroughs' cut-up tapes. So I located the tapes at a friend of mine, Barry Miles, who had the tapes. And then a long process began because the tape recording equipment and the playback equipment that was necessary had to be found and hired, and then we had to digitize the tapes in the first instance. And it became obvious when we were going into the process that some of the tapes were recorded at one end of the tape, some at the other end of the tape. They were recorded at different speeds and in different parts of the world. So it was a very complex process putting together a set of what turned out as a set of three CDs that we put out called Real English Tea Made Here, which is a caption in a Burroughs photograph from Tangier. Now, at the same time that I was doing that project, I was also working as a curator on an exhibition about punk in the Kunsthalle Vienna. And I was talking to the curators at the Kunsthalle about the Burroughs project and about crossover influences between Burroughs and punk. And the idea emerged really about expanding the three CD cut-up collection into an exhibition. So, in other words, talking about Burroughs' work in sound, in film, in literature, and across a whole variety of media. So the exhibition was as a result of me doing two things at the same time, curating the sound works and then curating an exhibition on punk in Vienna. And the concept of the exhibition grew out of that collaboration.
And Kunsthalle was obviously very glad to host such an exhibition. And
yes, of course. William Burroughs is one of the most important American writers of the 20th century, and as a museum, we then became interested to actually show him as a multimedia artist, and to present all the works that make clear how he made language and the visual field productive for each other. So, yeah.
So now at the exhibition, and we will talk about it a bit later, some more, there are 400 objects to be seen.
Yeah.
Heard.
Yes.
Seen and heard and read. Yes. All right. But we'll not talk so much about drugs. We'll talk about the man, as we do talk in our mission, also about people who use drugs, about them, not about their use of drugs. But control was one of the things he was mostly engaged with, the question of control, the problems of control, how to escape control. I've read in one of the interviews that he adopted the mafia technique, which is supposedly one that when you walk down the street, you always look at every person around you before they catch you with their eyes, and in that sense, you will not be seen. He was a homosexual, he was a junkie, a drug user, and he didn't want to be seen by too many people in different parts of the world where he was. But this control and cut-up technique, as I understand it, is one way of escaping the control of words, which in some of his works names as a virus. Language is a virus. That's where the first disease comes out. But if we stop at control, what did he find out? Maybe Mr. Mr. Fallows.
Yeah, he was the issue of control and control systems is a and the escape from is a theme that underlies much of his work, and this idea in of him becoming invisible. He was known as El Hombre Invisible in Tangier, and this can be seen in his very much in his personal style. So when he was in Tangier, he would dress like one of the locals in order to become invisible. He would carry a bag of oranges so that he looked like one of the locals. In London, when he was living in London, he dressed like a banker. So, and the photograph that we've used for the exhibition is a photograph of him in Paris, where again he's dressed like a businessman in Paris. When he later moved to Kansas, he dressed like a cowboy. So he was constantly becoming invisible in the background. He would, in this kind of will to escape systems of control, he was exploring other systems that offered an escape or ostensibly offered an escape for control. And one of the things we've done in the exhibition is we've reconstructed Burroughs' library. So all of the books that he had in his personal library that Ginsberg made a note of, and Burroughs actually used as his reading lists for his students as well. So we've reconstructed that in the exhibition, and a number of those books are about escaping systems of control. But what he discovered in the process of this, so he explored things like Scientology, he was exploring areas of like UFOs and various other kind of cults or schemes of escaping control. But what he would invariably find out is that what they were actually offering was an alternative system of control. So he would explore them and then leave them, and the library is almost the kind of document of those things that he would often use in his work or as part of his work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When reading, I don't know if it's true, but when reading about him wanting to be adopted by the UFOs, he also went to a place where allegedly they were seen, and then he told his friend, well, just for the listeners to understand, that he was a man of who liked mundane enjoyments, said, well, I just wanted to be abducted so to have sex with people from outer space. So he was also a man of who enjoyed life much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he thought that was a great idea. That was with Whitney Schreiber. Mm-hmm. That so he joined that group. and and then left when nothing happened. So again, it was something that he would join. But he would often he would often join and then leave these aspects. But he told my friend Barry Miles that they were worth every penny.
All right, but if now since this is an art exhibition, cut-ups, cut-ins, cut-outs. This has had a wide-ranging effect on various cultural performers, artists, musicians, etc. What can we say about his art? What kind of impact has it had on the 20th century, and of course, how it continues in this 21st century?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important to say in the first instance that the cut-up technique was a rediscovery rather than a discovery. So when
from the Dadaists in the 20s,
it would be traced back really to Tristan Zara in the earlier than the 20s, probably 1916 Zurich, were with the simultaneous poetry of Tristan Zara, Richard Hulsenbeck, Marcel Janco, when they were working at the Cabaret Voltaire in Zurich and were working with simultaneous poetry and fragments of verse. And then again, Zara in 1920 produced the a kind of manifesto, How to Make a Dadaist Poem. And Burroughs and Geissen in Paris in 1959 were aware of the work of the Dada group through Robert Motherwell's book, the anthology of Dada poets and painters. So they were aware of that, but nevertheless, when Geissen rediscovered the process through cutting into a cushion of newspapers whilst cutting mounts for his watercolours, it was a real surprise, a real revelation that he shared with Burroughs. And Burroughs then really set off on a 10-year process, really, a 10-year intensive period of experimentation between 1959-60, 1970. So coincidentally, it kind of spans the period of the Beatles, for example. And in terms of influence, this particular method, this cut-up method, and that's very much what the exhibition's about. It's an exploration of a research method, really, a tool or a set of tools for creativity. And so Burroughs, first of all, was an influence on the slightly younger generation of the Beats, so Ginsberg, Kerouac, Corso, etc.
They were also friends.
They were friends, and he was very much an influence on them. And in fact, Ginsberg was almost acting as an agent for Burroughs in terms of pulling his work together and getting it published, etc. So there was a really strong relationship and influence there. And then Burroughs, of course, was a big influence on the creative aspects of the 1960s, from the mid-60s. The Beatles had a flat in Montague Square in London. It was actually Ringo's flat, and he had to leave it because too many fans found out about it. And Paul McCartney had this idea of setting up what could be an informal experimental monthly audio magazine, which never actually happened. But he set up a recording studio, a small recording studio, in what was Ringo's flat in Montague Square. And so McCartney would be in there. The engineer that he got to buy the equipment and to operate the equipment was Ian Somerville. Mm-hmm. And so McCartney would be in the demoing tracks like Eleanor Rigby, etc., before going into Abbey Road Studios, and Burroughs would be in the downtime making cut-up tapes with Ian Somerville. So there was a dialogue between Paul McCartney and Burroughs about the whole cut-up technique in the mid-60s. So the influence then can be heard on the Beatles' 1966 album Revolver, with tracks like Tomorrow Never Knows, which is essentially a cut-up piece. And it can also be heard the year later on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with a track like A Day in the Life, which is essentially two songs cut together from disparate sources. And Burroughs' image, of course, features on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's. So it's kind of spanning, first of all, the Beats and then the emerging hippie era in the 60s. And Burroughs featured regularly in International Times, which was Barry Miles was the editor with John Hopkins. It's Europe's first underground newspaper. And we have a number of exhibits in the gallery here of Burroughs pieces in International Times, as well as earlier pieces in mimeograph magazines like Jeff Nuttall's My Own Mag. So there's a clear influence coming through into the emerging counterculture of the 60s. Mm-hmm. Then again in the 1970s, largely through people like David Bowie talking about Burroughs and Burroughs techniques, for which he employed quite heavily in albums like Diamond Dogs. He would use cut-up techniques for lyric construction in there. So largely through that, the emerging punk generation then became aware of Burroughs. So the New York scene, people like Patti Smith, etc. Lou Reed had already had an interest in Burroughs. And then slightly later, Sonic Youth, who were very influenced by Burroughs. It's interesting that the exhibition catalogue that we have, we've bookended the catalogue with the first interview with Burroughs, which was by Allen Ginsberg and Gregory Corso, and then the last interview with Burroughs, which was by Lee Ronaldo from Sonic Youth. And they're both published in the exhibition catalogue. So, and interestingly, Thurston Moore's new band, since the split with Sonic Youth, his first single is called Burroughs. So there's a kind of ongoing reference to Burroughs across. It's a kind of unique position he occupies, really, in that he was an influence on the Beats, then an influence on the hippies, and then an influence on punk. So he spans the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, and into the 80s in terms of his influence.
Well, it's interesting also that a lot of people were coming to him. He was open to the people, but maybe not so much for their work, like Kurt Cobain. I know there's quite a few recordings on the internet with Kurt Cobain playing the music and him talking over. But when asked about Cobain's music, he said, "I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know." Something in that sense. Always listening to the music from the 20s and the 30s. Mm-hmm. But he's seen as an important persona for United States of America, a very strong counterculture figure. Some call him on the dark side of the counterculture, but he was, I wouldn't use this word dark, I would prefer the light, because what he says is very important and very nicely put when you mentioned in his first interview with Allen Ginsberg. I think it's that interview that's supposedly the first one published. It's very nicely put forward what his opinion about life, the world, politics, which he starts is about. But as I've read, his influences on his artwork pertain to Europe mostly. And some go as far as to say, well, he's an European artist.
Mm.
His best works have been done in Europe or something in that manner.
Yeah, it's very interesting because he is in a way seen as a European artist because, of course, he lived for the large part of his creative life in Europe, in Paris, in Tangier, and in London. So he travelled in Europe a lot, and that's where a lot of his work was produced. Latterly, he moved back to America, of course, and lived in New York, and then later on in Kansas. But it is very interesting that he is seen and viewed as a European artist, and a lot of his major influence was in Europe as well.
All right, maybe a little bit of music. Poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, poslušate Drugerijo in seveda Burrows je naša tema. 19. februarja se otvori razstava v MGLC-ju v sredo ob 11. uri, to je pomembno povedati, vas boste vodila današnja gosta. Skozi to razstavo na njej je 400 objektov. And now, Mr. Fellows, Mrs. Gensmer, if we delve into this exhibition, Cut-ups, Cut-ins, Cut-outs, The Art of William S. Burrows,
okay. Well, as the title indicates, we're aiming to explore the full range of Burrows' work in cut-ups. So the cut-ups, the cut-ins, and the cut-outs of his work. The exhibition also contains photographs of Burrows and photographs by Burrows. We have a very elegant set of photographs taken by Brian Geisen in 1959 in Paris of Burrows. And we also have in the first room photographs taken by Burrows, some of the first kind of cut-up photos, double exposure, triple exposure, that he had developed in chemist shops in Tangier. so we have those original photographs and the original photographic packaging from the chemists in Tangier. We also have... I found when researching the exhibition an old book from it turned out that it was published on practically the same day as the opening of the exhibition in Vienna 100 years earlier, about Burrows' grandfather William Seward Burrows the first was the inventor of the adding machine. And this book is about his grandfather, and you can take a particular reading of the book and apply it to Burrows. It's a very very interesting and we've also got some advertisements from the Burrows adding machine company as well. Then we have some professional portraits of Burrows taken from the 1960s. We have Burrows reading his early work from the 1960s. And then we have a large collection of documents. The earliest publications of Burrows' cut-ups were in almost like a fanzine. It was by the artist and writer Jeff Nuttall. It's a magazine called My Own Mag, which was produced by Mimeograph, and he actually gave Burrows a set of pages in every issue called The Burrow. which Burroughs produced his earliest experiments in, the three column technique, where he would produce work that could be read down in the columns and also across in the columns, so vertically and horizontally the text could be read. So Jeff Nuttall published this work in My Own Mag. Then we've got a whole set of pieces from International Times, and the My Own Mag and International Times archives are held at Liverpool John Moores University, where we have a complete archive of both of these. Then we have a large collection of lots of different types of cut-ups that Burroughs was experimenting with from New York Public Library collection. So he started out by cutting up Shakespeare, cutting up Rambo, and cutting up newspapers and mixing all of these different things together. So we have examples of all of those, including a very amusing piece where Brian Geisen has written a piece of narrative explaining the cut-up technique, and Burroughs has cut up that text. So it's a very interesting piece of text that's there. And then he would start using colour and typewriter symbols within them. And then he would be making artworks at the same time as well. So we have a wonderful collection of cut-up artworks from Los Angeles County Museum of Art. And we have 23 of those. We ordered 24, but only 23 arrived. And 23, of course, is a number of great significance to Burroughs.
Could you please explain?
Okay, when Burroughs was producing the first cut-ups, the number 23 kept appearing to him in the cut-up pieces, and he then adopted this number in a number of his works. So it had a lasting influence on him, the number 23. And we also have, as I mentioned before, we've reconstructed Burroughs Library, so visitors to the exhibition can go in and read the books that Burroughs read, and as well as listening to the sound works. And we have a room in the gallery. The gallery is themed in a set of rooms, really, almost like self-contained exhibitions. So there's a section from London where Burroughs took a lot of photographs, and they would be of street scenes, mostly without people, mainly of buildings, almost like theatrical set designs, perhaps to be used as in descriptive form in novels at a later date, but very particular type of photographic eye that he had, as well. And we're kind of juxtaposing those images with the cut-up sound works on the CD Real English Tea made here. And then we have a room of the later works, almost like the cutouts, if you like, of the shotgun paintings. So Burroughs would take, say, for example, we have a large piece in the gallery of a door, and he would attach aerosol cans to the door and then shoot them with his shotguns. So they would. We have a number of the so-called shotgun paintings in the gallery, and these are obviously a great influence on artists like Damien Hirst. His spin paintings, which offer a similar kind of mechanical, if you like, or machine type technique to the production. And one of the main pieces we have in the gallery is borrowed from Damien Hirst's private collection.
All right. Burroughs was, whichever thing he was engaging with, he did it all the way, you could say. That's why probably there is also so many parts, 400 objects in this exhibition. As I understand, when he was doing this cut-up techniques in writing, he did it 1,000 pages and then changed the technique just a slight bit and then did another 1,000 pages before he went on. So he was a very hardworking man in terms of...
Yeah, it's really fascinating to see how he experimented with language, mm-hmm. and that actually the cut-up technique is a literary technique in the first place, and it's transmitting the collage principle onto language. And it's really interesting to see how Burroughs worked with it. Actually, we kind of know this technique today from cut, copy, paste from our computer. But at the same time, it was something very different. Burroughs was once asked in an interview why he would bother to cut all this 100 pages of text to have one page of literature, for example. And he said that the mind couldn't actually cope with it in that many variations. So it's really also the idea of expanding the capacity of the mind.
And maybe this is the point where we can finish our interview. Is there something well, I've already mentioned and we should mention again, on Wednesday at 11 o'clock, you're gonna have a guided tour.
Yep.
At Mogilevce at 11 o'clock. Tako, drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, ob 11. v sredo si bo se lahko še nadalje odpirali vaše glave s pomočjo Borusa in dveh kuratorjev, Falosa in Gensmerjeve. And maybe a word or two for the end.
11 o'clock, Wednesday morning. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Thank you for coming.
Slišali ste, thank you for coming. I wish you have a pleasant stay here. And I wish that you will travel with Burroughs, not just in Vienna and Ljubljana, but also to other parts of Europe and the world. Maybe to Tangier. Dragi poslušalki, ceni poslušalci, začeli smo z filmom Hexan iz leta 1922 iz Švedske. S tem tudi zaključimo. Vi pa, kot ste razumeli, nadaljujete v sredo v Magalecejo. Srečno!
With the passing centuries, the god of the Middle Ages is no longer in his circle, surrounded by 9 angelic choirs. We no longer prostrate ourselves in agony in front of the pictures on church walls. But is not superstition still rife among us? Is there such a difference between the witch of yesteryear and the
baby junk
of today? The enigma of the devil remains, and will no doubt remain unsolved until the death of the last man or woman.
Pokrovitelj drogerije je...
Gospod Marko iz Lucije prodaja kombajn. Malo rabljen, redno servisiran, rdeče barve. Cena po dogovoru. Številka mogo...
Učinkovitost je pomembnejša od velikosti obdelovalne površine. Kalčer Indoor, hidroponični in prezračevalni sistemi, žarnice, zemlja, gnojila ter ostali pripomočki za indoor gojenje rastlin pod vašimi pogoji.
Ljubljana, cesta v Šmartno 41A in www.kalčerindoor.si.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Oh, don't give me the conspiracy bullshit. Come on, you're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Drogerija, oddaja vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo opoldne na Radiu Študent.